we'll touch on some priorities that we'll be talking about all year long. Thank you both for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
And now let's start off with some of those priorities. You have a very active agenda for the coming year. Let's talk about some of the highlights.
Sure. Well, January 3rd, we each talked about sort of what are our priorities, what are the focus for the year, and most of these things are not new. They're a continuation of things we've been working on. Number one would be the facility siting in Arlington, a big issue in our community, where we're going to meet those needs with that limited land that we have, and we have a joint facility advisory committee that is just geared up and ready to help us make some of those decisions, engage the community. Another one of the issues that is not a new one to us is housing affordability. Mm-hmm. Obviously, victims of our own success here in Arlington, a lot more people want to live here than we have land for, so we will continue to address some of those challenges and develop some new tools this year to help us along. Just this last week, big success, Nestle coming to Arlington. So another one of our challenges is the vacancy rate that, you know, used to be 7-8%. In recent years, it's kind of 20%, 22. So we've taken a few good hits on that number, dropping it in recent years. But it remains a challenge for us to continue to ensure that that office space that we have is filled. Now, it's not unique to Arlington. Everybody's feeling this with all the other pressures. But we're pretty excited about Nestle USA headquarters coming to Arlington and joining our corporate citizenship. The only other one I'll mention right now is around environmental sustainability, a real personal thing for me over many years. I know the board is committed to the environmental sustainability of our community. It's, you know, something we tackle in multiple ways, through transportation, through renewables, through helping our individual homeowners make their homes more green, the Green Home Choice Program. This year, I think we have in the queue a number of advances in our environmental sustainability as well.
Okay. Now, this isn't your first time as chair.
Nope, done it a couple times. A
couple times now, so it's old hat for you. But how have things changed, whether it be your initiatives or kind of the outlook for the county, that kind of thing? How has that changed each time?
You know, it changes, it evolves, but it also stays the same. You know, I think we're a changing community. Change is challenging for a lot of people, for a lot of communities. It's different. But if you look at Arlington, people that have lived here come back after serving overseas for some years. 3-4 years later, the complexion, the physical surroundings have changed. We have so much dynamic, an economic prosperity and a base that is really the envy of most. The alternative is a stagnant community with empty shops and, you know, kids that won't stay in a community. Here we have just the opposite. We have more people that want to live here than we have space for, growing school enrollment. So we continue to sort of adjust with the community and facing those challenges.
Okay. Now, Katie, this is your first time being vice chair.
Yes.
What are some of the things you're looking to accomplish? What are your goals for the year?
Absolutely. Well, I think Jay's summary really captures so much of what we all as a board have our eyes on, as well as the chair and vice chair, in terms of our economic competitiveness, environmental sustainability, and facilities planning, which I think will be a major focus for the year ahead and something that is a priority for me, along with Jay serving as one of the liaisons to the new Joint Facilities Advisory Commission. I think some of our priorities have also been shaped, have to be shaped, by the national and federal climate that we're in right now. And so looking to protect our most vulnerable residents, those who are concerned about the impacts of recent executive orders or, in general, other priorities of this administration, that has to be a priority for us. I am remain really interested, as Jay mentioned, all of us do, with the affordability picture. And for me, that takes the form not only of housing affordability, but childcare affordability, which is a tremendous challenge for many of our young families. So looking at ways through land use, through closer examination of our regulatory issues around childcare, and other strategies that we can push forward on to incentivize and make it easier to create childcare centers and increase the supply of high quality but affordable childcare in our community.
Okay, now you just touched on this a moment ago, but one priority for the entire board has been making that effort to ensure that Arlington remains a safe, a welcoming community for everyone. Now, and you even issued a letter to the community about that. Let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of feedback have you gotten?
There is no question that this new administration, people are still in shock. They're still in denial. They're still concerned. And the watchword, I think, is uncertainty everywhere, whether it's in the private sector, the public sector. There's a great amount of uncertainty and unpredictability about what will happen. Mixed messages, but the first series of executive orders have not necessarily been helpful. And we know, we hear it out in the community. We hear it every day, consistently, the reflection of that uncertainty and fear and angst and anxiety in families, in homes, in the schools, with their kids. And, you know, that's why I was so proud to, on behalf of this board, which is unified on this issue, to reassert and, you know, reassure that we have been, will be, a welcoming and inclusive place. We will not step beyond what's required of us by law in terms of enforcing immigration laws. That's not the role of the local government. It's the role of the federal law enforcement. And we will continue to come up with new ways of outreaching, explaining what our policies are, trying to give people as much comfort and awareness as we can. It is tops on our priority. And Katie's been, you know, really bird-dogging this one.
Yeah. And I appreciate, Kara, that you asked what kind of feedback we've gotten, because I think it's important when we talk about a welcoming community that we're not talking just about what are the policies of your government and your board. This is about how community members treat one another and the expectations that we all have for our community. One of the things that has been tremendously heartening and makes me very proud to lead Arlington is how much mail, communication, feedback in the community we've gotten, not just from folks worried about their own circumstances, but from members of our community who want to know what they can do to help and want to hold their local government accountable for protecting their friends and neighbors and families who are so important to them. And so it is, you know, we've heard, you know, from a number of people. Of course, no one is ever entirely unified in a community. There are divergences of opinions and different approaches even within Arlington towards recent executive actions. But we are hearing loud and clear that this is a welcoming community in all its forms, not just in terms of government policy.
Now, one term that kind of gets kicked around a lot is that term sanctuary city, or in Arlington case, sanctuary county. Is Arlington a sanctuary county?
Yeah, the term sanctuary is not defined anywhere. It is a term without a clear definition. Hence, from the beginning, we've not used that term to define ourselves. We define ourselves and explain that we're welcoming and inclusive. I don't know if it's a difference without a distinction, but the truth is we have taken every step that, and we will continue to, that we can to ensure that we're welcoming and inclusive. I mean, let's look at what Arlington is. It's safe. People treat each other with respect. We have an incredible community that we've created built on that respectfulness, and we do not want to break that down or let anyone else break it down. So we're going to do everything we can to reaffirm it.
At every level, from government to law enforcement to schools to neighbors helping neighbors.
Absolutely, in all its forms.
All right. Well, thank you both very much. We're going to take a short break now, and when we come back, we'll talk about a newly appointed commission that got to work this month. Stay with us.
We have four phases when clearing snow. In phase one, we are on alert and pre-treat the roads as the storm approaches. In phase two, we clear primary and secondary roads to make sure emergency services can still operate. If we get 6 inches or more of snowfall, plows may make their way into neighborhoods. In phase three, we are focused on residential streets. And phase four is when we clean everything up.
Welcome back to County Board Wrap-Up, our monthly chat with County Board members about the important action the Board takes and how they affect us and our community. We're talking today with our new County Board Chair Jay Fizette and Vice Chair Katie Crystal. Thank you both once again for being here. Now, we talked about this a little bit in the earlier segment, but the new Joint Facilities Advisory Commission, this is going to be a big priority for both of you, Katie, you especially. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So the JFAC is off and running, which we are thrilled about. We spent, I would say, the better part of last year shaping not only a thoughtful and manageable scope for this group of citizens, but really taking our time to make sure that we appointed a group that was fully representative of Arlington in all of its forms, and to find individuals that would bring an at-large perspective. We talked at our first meeting that, you know, the constituency we were asking each of them to represent was the future of Arlington County. We really want them to apply a forward-looking point of view, bring some wisdom to bear about how we shape a facility's future for this growing community that will make sense for the next 10, 20, 30 years or more.
And you said the group first got together for its first meeting. What was the energy like? What are some of the priorities this group has to get moving?
Absolutely. So the energy in the room was terrific. It was one of the most positive launches I think I've seen to a community process here in Arlington. And a lot of credit goes to their staff liaison, Jennifer Fioretti, and to a really talented leadership team, Chair Ginger Brown and Vice Chair Greg Greeley, who put a lot of effort to make sure this group was well supported in its beginning start. They will be tackling the interesting challenge of both looking at long-term issues in their first year, as well as helping give us some advice on some really important, more immediate land acquisition and siting and use decisions. So they will be focused in particular on the property for potential acquisition, the Buck property across from Washington Lee High School, an opportunity for a possible land swap in Shirlington related to that property, and a set of possible swaps or trades with Virginia Hospital Center.
And right. You said that this group is not wasting any time. They are getting out and rolling. You mentioned they'll be going out on a bus tour.
Absolutely. So one of their first actions will be a bus tour of some of the sites that I just mentioned, as well as a few others around the county. You know, I think we see all the time, and our citizen leaders know, that there is nothing like seeing something for yourself to get a sense of the terrain of a given site, for example, or, you know, how something might be set up. So as they make use determinations, we really want them to have in mind the picture of what these sites really look like and potentially accommodate what the opportunities for multi-use, for example, might be.
And I just want to emphasize that so the backdrop to this is a growing community with new people living here, adults, new kids in the schools, and that means growing needs, whether it's for bus storage or schools, community facilities, and limited land. So it's really a tough challenge. We're going to be able to add some land to the inventory. We'll have to go over, we'll have to go under. Just what the community facility study said, we need new creative ways of meeting these needs and mixing and matching the available limited land with that group. And this is completely collaborative with the schools. That's the other piece. You know, Greg Greeley, Ginger Brown, wonderful representatives of the whole community, and the schools have been great partners in this.
How about from a more of a long-term perspective? You know, getting the schools involved with the community, this is really a unique process. And what are some of those long-term issues that a committee is going to be looking at?
Well, I think student population growth and the demographic projections. We just had a fascinating work session between the county board and the school board on some follow-up analysis about our demographic projections. What are the factors that go into that? What do we know about the changes, for example, in single-family housing, which still generates the overwhelming majority of our students? And how are we predicting and evolving our models to make sure that we don't miss student population booms? So those demographic conversations will be under the purview of JFAC. We're also going to ask for their insights when it comes to our capital improvement planning, both on the school and county side. The schools also have what they call their AFSAP, their long-range facilities plan, and we're working on developing something similar on the county side. It's a big lift, right? We don't do just school buildings. We do everything from salt domes to community centers to police impound lots. So trying to get our arms around that kind of long-range planning, a little bit of a lift, a little bit longer term, but the JFAC group is going to have a lot of influence discussion, and there'll be a key area for us to get feedback as board members and as staff.
Another issue that, you know, we've been getting a lot of feedback on, and that we've been seem to be talking about a lot in the last few months, is that issue of the sharing economy and short-term residential rentals. I know this came up a lot here at the beginning of the year of putting some regulations in place before the inauguration. What have you been hearing from folks, you know, on both sides of the issue, and where do we stand now?
Yeah. I think we're in good shape, really. It's really a tribute to the staff and the community that in a relatively short period of time, we tackled this issue, and only a few places in the Commonwealth have done that. Part of the reason we wanted to do it quickly was that the General Assembly had passed some laws last year. They put them on hold. They're trying to tackle it again this year. And we felt that as one of the jurisdictions that has more of these units, 1,500 in 1 month last summer alone, that we needed to provide a legal way for those units to exist and to help inform what the legislature's doing. And I think we've succeeded in doing it. After successfully adopting an ordinance in December, the community feedback we got, which was really terrific. I mean, the quality and the level of feedback was really high. And we heard it, we listened, and we had to advertise a couple of other adjustments to come back and make some amendments in January, just at our last meeting. The big one there, for example, was we added to the eligible folks that can have a short-term stay in their unit, in their home, it has to be their primary residence, are renters. So not only can homeowners do this, but someone who rents an apartment can do this. Now, they have to have the approval and permission from the property manager or the owner of the unit, because that person can further prohibit or just limit the opportunity or the option. But if they allow it, they meet our regs, and then they can do it as well. So that was a big change, and I think brings a whole lot more people into the fold that can take advantage of this opportunity.
And you mentioned that now down the line, there's going to be some additional changes, so we want people to really register now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if we had 1,500 in 1 month in July so far, and it's the goal is expediting this, making it easy to go online and register your unit, less than 100 have done so far. If you do it soon, we encourage you to do it, because at some point there will be enforcement, complaint-driven, but there will have to be enforcement, and there'll probably be a registration fee applied once we get to July. So you got 6 months or 5 months left to get in and not have a fee, because come July, there'll likely be a fee to register. So we encourage everyone to go online and do this. It's not hard. We tried to make it easy, and we are really trying to be a good partner with the sharing economy here.
Okay. I know another issue that we've talked about several times that I know is a big priority for you is affordable housing. And we've got some movement in the Westover area. So tell me a little bit about that.
You want to take this one?
Sure, okay. Absolutely. So we are trying to respond quickly to what we're seeing is a loss of market rate affordable garden apartments in Westover. We're losing them to redevelopment. And Westover is a wonderful mixed income community. And we hear often from the Civic Association there, as well as from some of the more traditional players in the affordable housing space, that they really want to keep this element of affordable Westover. So our staff has been working to try to address some of these issues as expeditiously as possible. And we're really fortunate to have a partner in the Arlington Partnership for Affordable Housing, or APA, which responded to what they knew was a board priority by seeking and seizing this opportunity to acquire a number of properties which they will now renovate and commit as committed affordable units so that they will retain that status for many, many years to come. So just this past month, we took an action to do a loan from our Affordable Housing Investment Fund to help pay for the acquisition and renovation of those properties. So we are really excited to see where this goes. APA is pursuing an aggressive timetable for renovation so that these really can stay committed and be high quality as well as affordable homes.
Great. Well,
we've got to do what we can to both preserve and create new. Right. And the Affordable Housing Master Plan speaks to all these tools and all these goals. In Westover, it's about preserving some fabulous garden apartments and mid-rise buildings.
Right. That eclectic character of Westover.
All the above. Historic, affordable, character of the neighborhood, all good outcomes.
All right, we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about an Arlington program that is working to reduce the incidences of domestic violence, as well as developments with the county's towing ordinance. We'll be right back.
Now, everything you were going to do someday is on the calendar. Introducing a new day of the week. Someday. Want to retire someday? You'll want a My Social Security account to help you get ready. Get yours at socialsecurity.gov.
Well, Welcome back to the final segment of this month's County Board Wrap-Up. And now we've got a very special topic to cover. Project Peace is a coordinated community-wide initiative dedicated to advancing the most effective and efficient array of education, prevention, protection, and support services to end domestic and sexual violence in our community. And Board Vice Chair Katie Crystal is very involved in this program, and at last month's board meeting, we reported on some of the achievements of Project Peace so far. Tell me a little bit about this program and what it's really all about.
Absolutely. So Project Peace is what's called a coordinated community response. It is a team that brings together many different agencies, many different forms of government, from the magistrate's office to the Commonwealth Attorney's team to our Department of Human Services, as well as a number of nonprofit or community-based providers. Doorways is a familiar face. SCAN, for example, which does advocacy around child violence or violence against children. It is a terrific team. Project Peace just turned 10 last year. It was founded by Barbara Favola, formerly of the county board, now in the state senate, and really has taken off its work in the last year or two under the leadership of Cheryl Bozarth, who is the new Project Peace coordinator who joined us in 2016. One of the things we were highlighting last month is really an exciting achievement for this coordinated community response, which is a protocol, which is a sort of bureaucratic term, but what basically it means is that we are running with a new law that came about, took effect last summer, a law actually brought about by the hard work of Senator Barbara Favola, that takes weapons and specifically guns away from those with a permanent protective order against them. Folks find it a little hard to believe that you could have a permanent protective order against you because of a situation of domestic violence, but still have unfettered access to firearms. Because of this law and now this hard work across many different agencies and many different teams, that will no longer be the case. When there is a situation of domestic violence and a permanent protective order, firearms will be taken away from those individuals, and we know that this will save lives. So we are incredibly excited about this work and excited about making sure that those in the community know that this is something, a protection that they are entitled to when they receive a permanent protective order.
How about some of the other things, the other resources available and the programs through Project Peace?
Absolutely. So we're working on a lot of different fronts with Project Peace. As you mentioned, education is a big piece. We have a dynamic work group under the leadership of one of our staff members who works on the Partnership for Children, Youth, and Families, and former school board member, Abby Raphael. And they are working on education in our high schools because we know that's where the education about consent and understanding intimate partner violence has to start. So they've received a number of grants in recent years to reach out to more students, to have a bigger student presence. And there was a healthy behavior survey done a couple years ago of Arlington Public School students that demonstrated there is now greater awareness of healthy dating behaviors, which is exactly what we're trying to do, is not only the community response to domestic violence and sexual assault, but the prevention and education piece.
So this will be something that's an ongoing effort and that we hopefully can expand on over time as well.
Absolutely.
All right, wonderful. And then we do have one final topic to touch on today, and this is always one that's a big hot-button issue for Arlingtonians, and that is the towing ordinance.
Oh, from domestic violence to predatory towing. Excellent transition.
But what can you tell us about the towing ordinance as it stands right now and how it's going to impact Arlington?
Sure. I'll start out. Katie can finish this off. The board voted 5-0 in December to amend our towing ordinance to provide some enhanced protections for consumers. You know, we've just seen, and a lot of urban places have seen, some real ratchet up in what's called predatory towing. It's really aggressive tows that take place in the first minute or two or three that somebody parks, and then they step across an imaginary line on the sidewalk, and nobody has really benefited when that car is towed, and your day is put in turmoil, and you have to pay a huge amount of money to get your property back. So it really seems to many of us that that penalty exceeds the crime, especially when the only beneficiary is really the tow company in this instance, not the property owner. So while towing is important in an urban place, and you have to be able to move a car that's put in the wrong place, taking up space, we know that these aggressive tows go well beyond that line. And we've tried to put in place some protections that are authorized explicitly in the state code to allow for an authorization, require it at the time of the tow in certain instances for commercial properties during their business hours. This is a a program or an implemented policy in Virginia Beach and Stafford County. And all of a sudden, in the legislature, there is an effort to strip Arlington and Northern Virginia of this option while leaving it in place in places like Virginia Beach, where it's been successful for years. So our legislators are working hard to defeat the legislation and allow some balance to still exist between the property owners and their rights, absolutely, and protecting consumers from these over-aggressive situations.
Now, there was discussion at one point about that whole second signature aspect for a tow. Is that still something that's on the table or no?
So that was the consumer protection to which Jay was just referring. We've called it real-time authorization because it doesn't literally have to be a signature. We're simply asking that whomever the property owner or business tenant might be says and affirms, you're right, this car is illegally parked, it's blocking my paying customers, and we'd like you to remove it. So there's a little bit of affirmative additional step to kind of get at some of that really aggressive towing that Jay mentioned that isn't serving a lot of interest. So we did, as Jay mentioned, vote 5-0 to implement such a provision, again, currently allowed in the Code of Virginia. And we really took a lot of care to shape it as narrowly as possible so that it wouldn't inconvenience the business owners. We also delayed and deferred implementation of it to take another few months. We thought, we have a lot of smart partners at the Chamber of Commerce, for example, and others. If we can work out another solution that gets at this, what's really a real problem for consumers, while still respecting and perhaps better respecting the interests of property owners or business tenants, we are all ears. So it's about creating and shaping a kind of narrowly applied policy that will address this problem without an overreach. We think the bill right now that's before the House in Richmond is exactly the opposite. It's not narrowly shaped. In fact, it's a great overreach. Not only would it strip us of our ability to implement real-time authorization, it would raise tow fees for the second year in a row up to as much as $250 on Saturday evenings and Friday evenings, which we know is
actually
really burdensome.
They took that out. The original bill, but they took the fee increase out.
Ah, okay.
Trying to move it along, but they've taken the fee increase out. I think people expect they'll be back next year to try to raise the fees again.
So we need people to raise their voices, to talk to their state legislators, thank our Arlington delegation for standing against this bill, and encourage their friends in other affected jurisdictions, Fairfax, for example, or Alexandria, to make sure their state legislators know that this is not a bill that they want and that these consumer protections are important to them.
Okay, well, obviously, issues we are going to continue to discuss throughout the year here on County Board Wrap, from the towing to short-term residential rentals to the JFAC and the work that they are doing. A lot of important issues coming up for 2017. And that brings us to the end of another County Board Wrap-Up. Thank you, Jay and Katie, for joining us today. And join us next time when we'll be taking a close look at the county manager's proposed budget for fiscal year 2018. Until then, thank you for joining us for another discussion of the actions the board takes that affect you and your community. To find out about all of these issues and more, visit our website at arlingtonva.us.
Members of the Joint Facilities Advisory Commission, media, and the community took a tour of county sites and facilities. And we'll tell you more about what they saw and how Arlington works for you later in our program. But first, Arlington is thrilled to welcome Nestle to Roslyn. Governor Terry McAuliffe made the announcement at 1812 North Moore Street, which becomes home to Nestle USA's corporate headquarters in September. The company will occupy 206,000 square feet of office space and create 748 jobs. Learn more about Arlington's increasingly diverse economy and doing business in the county at arlingtoneconomicdevelopment.com. Planning for the new Lubber Run Community Center kicked off this month with an engagement process that includes public meetings, community feedback options, and outreach for the building and park design. Learn more about plans for the new community center and sign up for email updates at projects.arlingtonva.us, search Lubber Run. Congratulations to Amy Cohan, a 10th grader at Wakefield High School and the winner of the latest vehicle decal design competition. Her design, Arlington Sees Stars, features a photograph of the David M. Brown Planetarium. It will appear on the windshields of more than 160,000 Arlington vehicles. For more information on the decal competition, or to find out how to participate next year, go to taxes.arlingtonva.us. Members of Arlington's new Joint Facilities Advisory Commission, or JFAC, visited sites around the county to take a first-hand look at current conditions and get ideas on how to help the county and public schools resolve pressing capital facilities needs. Let's hop on the bus and take a look.
Today we took a bus tour of some of the sites that we're going to be considering in the Joint Facility Advisory Commission. Most of the sites were sites that the county is considering acquiring, either through purchase or land swap. And so we went to look at the sites to consider their physical considerations, their legal constraints. We really just got a chance to take a look at the actual properties that the county might take. The JFAC, the Joint Facility Advisory Commission, is a jointly appointed commission by the county board and the school board. It's the only one that's jointly appointed. Its job is to consider long-range planning for facility needs for both county and schools. It's also it's tasked with looking at the long-term capital improvement plans as well as needs assessments, facility needs. We had a great turnout from the public. We actually had a lot of residents, and we also had a lot of parents who were concerned about school issues. So we had a full packed bus.
So the big help was actually being able to get out of a room, go outside, and actually see these properties. It's one thing to look at a property on a map and see, you know, what does the map say, but when you're walking around the site, physically seeing how it connects to the neighborhood, how it relates to the terrain, you can make much better decisions knowing those kind of details about a particular piece of property. So these sites are ones that are under active consideration by our county board, by our school board. These are sites where we have the opportunity to expand the facilities that we have in our community's inventory. And we want to make good, thoughtful decisions about whether these are the right facilities, these are the right pieces of property that we want to add to our community assets.
These sites have time constraints on them. The county and the school board, they have decisions that have to be made about whether these properties should be purchased or not, or whether they should be swapped or not. And in case of the Virginia Hospital properties, it could be a combination of a couple of the properties that has to be decided soon.
There was a lot to see, you know, certainly a lot of properties, you know, some of which, you know, people drive by every day and you don't really realize, you know, what is there.
I knew quite a bit about several of the properties, but I have to say I'd never been to the Shirlington site, so I definitely got a firsthand look at some of our transportation needs and services, which was very eye-opening for me. The Trade Center was, even though I'd seen it before, it's even more packed than it was maybe 2 years ago, so I'd say that was sort of the surprise, is how much the county does with such little land.
Our job is really to look at our whole community. Like, what are the needs that we have as a community for facilities? What are the assets we have today as a community with facilities? And where there's a difference, where there's something that we need that we don't have yet, particularly with the long range growth that we expect, that we look at that gap and figure out how can we address that gap.
So the commission will be meeting regularly in our regular meeting once a month. We're also going to have subcommittee meetings that the public is welcome to attend as well, where we actually kind of get down to the details that are all laid out in the community facility study siting process. And so over the next 6 months, hopefully we'll come up with some recommendations to inform the county board and the school board's decision making. I think we have some really exciting opportunities in front of us.
JFAC members will provide input to the county board and the school board. You can learn more about JFAC at commissions.arlingtonva.us. Search JFAC. JFAC is just one of several commissions created by the county board for limited terms to focus on projects of immediate concern. There are also about 50 standing advisory groups established by the board to increase community input and focus on specific community needs. You can join a commission by applying online at commissions.arlingtonva.us or by calling the county board office at 703-228-3130 for an application. Commission meetings are open to the public, so feel free to attend one of your choice. Can't make it in person? Watch the planning and transportation meetings, all of which are streamed online. The schedules are posted in our calendar at today.arlingtonva.us. Arlington will celebrate our rich African American heritage at the annual Feel the Heritage Festival, Saturday, February 25th, from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Charles Drew Community Center. This free event, now in its 25th year, will feature live music and dance, a hall of history, children's activities, delicious food, and a great selection of vendors. We have a new show. Arlington Today is a one-minute daily update that highlights events going on in your neighborhood. Watch it by subscribing to the Arlington County YouTube channel or by following us on Facebook or Twitter. You can also see it every morning right here on Arlington TV. Well, that's it for this edition. We'll see you next time around Arlington.
Use the county's snow form on our website to report snow issues to ensure a timely response. We will be accepting reports based on the phase your street is slated to be cleared. If you live on an arterial or secondary road, you can report your issue after Phase 2 is completed. If you live on a Phase 3 street, which is a residential street, you can report your issue after we finish Phase 3.
As a county, we face growth in the services we are asked to provide to our residents. The County Board adopted a 10-year Capital Improvement Plan, or CIP, this summer that envisions a county in the year 2026 that provides more transit service to our neighborhoods, more seats for our school students, more field space for recreation, and continued growth and investment in myriad other forms of infrastructure. Only 12% of the 2.2 square miles of land that the county and schools own is designated for support services. This is not enough space. Therefore, we as a community need to make smart and tough decisions about addressing these needs, not just immediately, but for the future. Every day, the county, through its workforce, and with the great support of the county board and the residents of this community, we provide rides on our ART bus fleet totaling more than $3.1 million annually. And under our CIP, we anticipate growing our bus fleet from 65 buses currently to 90 buses by the year 2020. We also maintain 975 lane miles of road and fill 12,000 potholes annually. We also maintain 525 miles of water mains, which in the past year included fixing 271 water main breaks. As noted in the report the County Board and School Board received from the Community Facility Study Group a year ago, with all of these services comes the needs and the wants of this community and finding ways to support them. A real challenge with limited space. To the credit of the County Board, we now have an agreement in place that will allow us to acquire 6.1 acres of property in the center of the county at a place commonly referred to as the Buck Site off of North Quincy Street. On November 28, 2016, the county received a proposal from Arkland Property Company offering an exchange of vacant land it owns on Shirlington Road, 3.5 acres, for 2.3 acres of the Buck property. This is an attractive proposal because it would result in a net gain of 1.2 acres of industrial zone property for government functions. However, no decisions have been made on the potential exchange. We wanted to be transparent and release the proposal as soon as possible. We will keep engaging our community as we continue to explore this land option, and I will ask the County Board on December 13th to direct me to move ahead with negotiations on this proposal. Also, in the coming weeks, the county and school boards will be appointing members of the Joint Facilities Advisory Commission that they have established. This commission will be seeking public input on facilities issues in the upcoming months, and I hope to brief the commission and seek their input on this proposal. For ongoing updates on the possible North Quincy Street Shirlington Road land exchange, visit the county website and search Buck Property Exchange. You can also sign up for email updates. Thank you.
Don't move. Put your hands on the hood of the car.
Do it now.
Bring it behind you. But you are being detained while I figure out what's going on. You understand?
Remember, call if you can, text if you can.
Notice anything missing? That's right, sound. It's all around us, and with over 200,000 Arlingtonians living together in just 26 square miles, it can get pretty loud sometimes. Hey, that's enough. Too much noise. That's better. That's why Arlington, like most communities, attempts to control noise through a sound ordinance. But few ordinances are as challenging to enforce because our personal perceptions of noise vary widely. While some people find traffic noises irritating, others can't tolerate the sound of babies crying or dogs barking. One person's music is another person's noise. Spurred by a recent Virginia Supreme Court ruling which struck down subjective criteria, Arlington is undertaking the first update to its noise control ordinance since the 1970s. A lot of things have changed over the last four decades. And as we've become a more commercial and urban community, it's gotten louder. And louder. On an average weeknight in the Roslyn-Ballston corridor, the basic ambient noise can exceed 60 decibels. In addition, methods of measurement created in the 70s have become less useful over time, as have penalties and fines. The challenge we face is to define new tools that create clear, reasonable, objective standards and allow for effective and equitable enforcement. Enforcement issues can become particularly difficult at night or on weekends when Arlington County Police must respond to noise complaints among their other duties. These are also the times when noise control issues can frustrate us the most. Effective noise control means coming together to protect our community's health, safety, and welfare while respecting each other's rights. After all, each one of us makes the world just a little bit louder. You can find out more about Arlington's noise control ordinance or file a complaint yourself by going to building.arlingtonva.us.
Welcome to the January 3rd, 2017 organizational meeting of the Arlington County Board. Happy New Year, everyone. Before we get started, I want to welcome the chair of the school board. I saw her somewhere here, Nancy Van Dorn. Thank you so much for coming. Former board member Mary Hines is here. Is there anyone else I should introduce? Thank you. Thank you all so much for coming. And our first order of business is the election of the chair of the board for this year. And I will entertain nominations for chair of the Arlington County Board for 2017.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. I nominate Jay Fizette to serve as chair of the Arlington County Board for calendar year 2017.
Thank you very much. Are there any other nominations? Would anyone like to speak to the motion?
I would like to speak to the motion.
Ms. Crystal?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think many of us will have words more to this effect later in the meeting, but ahead is probably a tough year in 2017. You know, within and without, we'll have some challenges and tough decisions to make, and so I think this body and Arlington as a whole will be particularly fortunate to look to the steady temperament and experienced leadership of our colleague, Mr. Fizette, in the months to come. This leadership has been an asset in challenging times before in points of crisis, such as after the September 11 events, but also in times of less dramatic and more ongoing strain, such as the most recent recession. And in times of what I hope has been positive change as well, like the onboarding of four new colleagues in 4 years, Jay has also proven to be a consistent and thoughtful constant on the board. I think we, as his colleagues, have an opportunity to see firsthand the influence that Jay exerts on the region, particularly in the areas of transit and sustainability, and how his influence benefits Arlington in ways great and small, in more efficient public facilities and reduced energy use, in a more coordinated and unified voice for Northern Virginia jurisdictions when it comes to rail and enrichment, and in all the through traffic to the district from the outer jurisdictions that we don't see because of transit commitments. And aside from the occasional comments about how, in the past, we've always done it this way, Jay is never content to rest on laurels or tradition. The energy that he brings to tackling our greatest challenges, for example, land use and facilities planning, through sound practices jointly with the school board, the genuine enthusiasm he has applied to a new joint transportation committee with Ms. Van Dorn, and the time and analytical skill he has spent in developing with Mr. Weistat the scope and charge for the new audit committee and auditor. These are all testaments to his continuing commitment to this job and to growing and evolving in it. So we are fortunate to have his leadership, and it really is a pleasure to nominate Jay for chair of the county board for 2017.
Thank you, Ms. Crystal. Any further comments? All in favor of the motion before us, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes 5-0. Congratulations, Mr. Fizette.
Welcome. Thank you. And Libby, thank you very much. I think the first order of business when you get this new gavel here is to give back the old one. So for your year as chair, congratulations. We all appreciated all the work you did. And this is yours.
Oh, all right. Thank you. It's good to have a hammer on hand.
All right, the next order of business is the election of a vice chair. Do we have a nomination for vice chair, Mr.
Yes,
Dorsen?
Sir, Mr. Chairman. I hereby nominate Katie Crystal to serve as vice chair of the Arlington County Board for the calendar year 2017.
All right, we have a nomination. Do we have any other nominations?
Yes, Mr. Fizette, I would like to nominate John Weistat to be vice chair. John is our next most senior board member after Mr. Hugh and myself, and I would like to nominate him as vice chair.
All right. We have two nominations. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Anybody else interested?
Anybody.
Okay. I believe at this point the nominations are closed. So what I'm going to do is, in deference to my colleagues who've asked to take these in a particular order, I'm going to ask that we deal with the nomination of Mr. Weistat first and have any discussion that would be entertained.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fassettis. It was my motion. I'd like to speak to it, if I might. As we all know, John was elected twice by the voters of Arlington, first in the 2014 special and then later in the 2014 general elections. John's 35 years of experience, volunteering, give or take one or two, volunteering in Arlington and nearly 3 years on the board make him well qualified for a leadership position, and I think John has earned the vice chairmanship with his hard work as a board member, as is no surprise to those of us who've known John for many years. During this time on the board, he has shown himself to be serious, inquisitive, accessible, a policy-oriented board member who works cooperatively and collegially with his colleagues, staff, and the community at large, regardless of political outlook or identity at the other end of the conversation. And I believe in this time of deep political division nationally, Arlington needs more than ever to model our shared values, including the openness to different perspectives, with lively and open debates with those with differing views. Over the past few years, this board has shown how we can have those lively and open debates over issues and yet pull together towards our shared goals in a respectful and cooperative fashion, and I know that both Chair Fassett and Vice Chair Vistat would continue that balance, and their leadership team would signal to everyone that this board cares and is working for everyone in Arlington County, and I appreciate the chance to make the nomination.
Thank you very much. Mr. Vistat, would you like to speak to your own nomination?
I would, Mr. Fassett, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Garvey. Since being sworn in on April 11th, 2014, almost 3 years ago, I've worked hard to build the trust and respect among my colleagues and with our school board and other officials, both within and outside the county, by leveraging my three decades of deep community involvement in our public schools, our neighborhoods, and across the county. Just yesterday, School Board Vice Chair Barbara Cannon and I met for over 2 hours to grapple with current schools challenges. I've met with the Falls Church City Mayor, David Tarter, and I'm meeting in a few days with Alexandria Mayor Allison Silberberg to explore ways our localities can better collaborate. And I'm honored to represent Arlington on the Virginia Association of Counties Board, VACO, and on a key committee of the National Association of Counties. I'm proud to have partnered with Arlington Delegate Patrick Hope in 2015 to secure unanimous state legislative approval to hire our own independent county auditor, against the wishes, frankly, of some in the local political establishment. I recount this because I understand the pressures and the all too frequent corrosive impacts of partisan politics. People with the word Democrat, Republican, Green, Libertarian, or Socialist stamped on their foreheads and sorted and stereotyped forever as a result. I've been there myself. It's why I ran as an independent and have governed that way every day. But let's be honest, with my ranking third in seniority on the board, it is partisan politics alone that is the backdrop for this vote today. I'm not using this office as a stepping stone and have pledged to serve no more than two full terms. Just over 10 years ago, our school board was finally able to surmount this hurdle by electing non-Democrat David Foster to the vice chair and then the chairmanship twice, after first being denied that opportunity in his reelection year. When Democratic Party leaders forced some party members to resign for having the apostasy to openly back Foster in 2003, my colleague Christian Dorsey said it well. Quote, "I know this is party politics, but democracy should be much more than that." I'd like to close with a quote from our governor, Terry McAuliffe, the former chair of the Democratic National Committee. Just last year, the governor vetoed legislation passed by the Republican General Assembly of Virginia that would have allowed party identification for local offices on the ballot. Think about this. When you go into the voting booth now, as you did most recently in November, there was no R or D or I by the name of the county board candidates. That's as it should be. In vetoing the bill, Governor McAuliffe said, and I quote, "Party affiliation is not useful information when making decisions about purely local matters and would only serve to increase divisiveness in local government. We should be working to reduce partisan rancor rather than creating new places for it to flourish." The governor was right, and I believe most Arlingtonians agree with him. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Dorsey, do you have anything you wanted to say on this?
I would just like to say briefly, Ms. Garvey and Mr. Vystad on his own behalf outlined very well why Mr. Vystad is certainly fit to serve as vice chair of the county board. For me, the issue is not whether he ever should, but whether he should right now. And for me, as I look at that, practically speaking, over the next couple of years, it is likely that either me or Ms. Crystal is likely to seek the chairmanship for the county board, after which time both of us would have served only 2 years as a county board member. I think it would be in the best interest of this board and of Arlington for at least one of those years to have the experience of being vice chair along the way to better serve the community. So it is with that I would like to then, Mr. Chairman, when appropriate, speak to why I am nominating Ms. Crystal for vice chair.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Crystal.
Just a couple of comments about political orientation, the issue at hand. We rarely talk about political orientation from this dais, and I think for the reasons outlined by my colleagues, that is as it should be. But given the longstanding tradition of this body in electing leadership from the majority party members, I feel compelled to make a couple of comments and just note that before I sought service to serve on this board, I made a choice to make Arlington my home, and I did that because of its legacy of progressive leadership and the progressive values of the people who live here. I think in Arlington, being a Democrat is not just partisan. It's shorthand for values and what we prioritize, for meaningful investments in affordable housing, for deep commitments to schools, to prioritizing the collective of the county over the parochial, even when that's hard. And if those things weren't partisan, I think I would have had an easier time in running in a general election without an opponent. I greatly admire Mr. Vystad. His own remarks capture well the value that he adds to this board and as a colleague and to the people of Arlington. I think that electing board leadership is different than electing board membership. I think leadership is about who speaks for the board, even and especially when we disagree, though that might be rare. And it's about who stands in representation of those values that drew me to the county in the first place and that make me, and a majority of this county, Democrats. This is material to my vote for leadership. It's not simply about partisanship. And so despite my esteem for Mr. Vystad as a board member, I will nevertheless cast my vote for those values and for my principles and cannot support the motion.
And I'll make a comment as well. This is an unusual situation, as you can imagine. I will be supporting Katie for the vice chair position. Our representative form of government gives leadership to the majority. This has always been the case in Arlington County as well, whether Republicans or Democrats had that majority. In recent years, the leadership has rotated among the Democratic majority. At the same time, that representative form of government places respect for the views of the minority as a high value. Over my 19 years in office, I have relied on that guidance, and my vote today will reflect that commitment. I've always committed myself to serve respectfully and collaboratively with any person elected to this governing body, as I believe I've done, including and especially with this guy, John. John's positive personality and his work ethic actually make that quite easy. Bipartisanship is a good thing as elected leaders seek to solve community problems and overcome challenges. I welcome input from constituents in all neighborhoods and political persuasions, and I've successfully worked with Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, Greens, and Independent Greens on many issues. More importantly, our civic culture and decision-making process emphasizes inclusiveness and diversity. The recent presidential election reaffirmed the strong democratic values of this community as the gulf between the two leading candidates was larger than ever. And many, though not all, Republicans and independents supported the Democratic nominee. I see a clear distinction between serving on this board, as you've just heard, and being in the leadership of this board. Our leadership team of this governing body should not equivocate on the fundamental democratic values that have made Arlington such a great community. And these two leadership positions are the public face of our community. By the way, there is a distinct difference between our county board and the school board, as the school board positions are required by law to be nonpartisan seats. County board positions are partisan. I am excited to elevate the promise that Katie's passion and commitment to a diverse, inclusive, and sustainable community offers. I think I'm speaking to the next motion. I relish the opportunity for our community to cultivate and strengthen the next generation of leadership, especially in a community with such a high proportion of millennials. Katie is thoughtful, serious, and capable. She embraces the democratic values so rooted in Arlington, and she will be an outstanding vice chair. So with that, we have all spoken. There is essentially a substitute motion on the table. All those in favor of the motion to, or the nomination of John Weistat to be the vice chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
Nay.
It fails 2-3. There's now a motion on the, or a nomination on the floor.
Speak to it, Mr. Fassett.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I spoke to it a little early, so I'll turn it to you. Turn to you, Mr. Dorsey.
I'll clean up and mention items that you didn't. I am pleased to have made the nomination for Katie Crystal to serve as our vice chair for 2017. Having witnessed Katie's announcement of her county board candidacy in January of 2015 to competing against her for the Democratic nomination to then campaigning together, to this past year of serving together, I feel I've gotten to know you pretty well. And I have to say, your capabilities are extremely impressive. I know that you'll represent this board quite well and use your considerable skills to making our board operations more efficient and more effective. Katie is a skilled, concise, and effective communicator who will elevate what has been our growing emphasis, the emphasis of all of us, on having a government that is more responsive and more quick to address constituent concerns. She also has what I like to call the process gene, where she is cognizant of making sure problems are accurately described. We clearly outline the problems that we have to solve, that roles and responsibilities are clearly articulated, and that we move steadily, and she facilitates progress towards resolution. She has a discerning eye for when government can and should be helpful, and will then move with great determination to move us toward providing said help. And as Mr. Fazette mentioned, her heart is exactly where it needs to be in terms of moving this community forward, and it is with that that I am pleased to offer the nomination.
The nomination of Katie Crystal is on the floor for vice chair. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? It carries 5-0. Congratulations.
All right. Mr. Weistat, Mr. Fassett, I actually wanted to make a few comments myself on the last motion.
Sure.
And I just want to say I spoke earlier about why I think John Weistat should have been our vice chair. I still hold that position, but that doesn't mean that it takes anything away from my esteem for Katie Crystal. I know she will be a fine vice chair, and I congratulate you, Katie. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Fassett. And as the fellow on the short end of the 2-3 vote tonight, I also want to offer my congratulations to Ms. Crystal. I look forward to collaborating with you just as much, if not more, in the future as we have so far. Thanks.
Okay, very good. We're moving on through the agenda. Item 3 is the adoption of the calendar year 2017 County Board Meeting Schedule. Ms. Garvey?
Yes, and I would like to move adoption of the schedule as per the memo dated December 5th, 2015. And for those of you who don't have that right in front of you, the schedule includes 11 regular meetings, at basically as we usually do, one held each month on Saturday, and we exclude the summer recess in August, and 11 corresponding recess meetings on Tuesday evenings within a week or two of the initial regular meeting. Any carryover sessions from Tuesday may be scheduled for another date and time as the board may decide, which we did once this year. If it just gets to be too full to do it in 2 days, we do it in three. The schedule also includes a budget hearing and tax rate hearing, and I will just note that our regular January meeting would normally have fallen on January 21st, and in draft versions it did at first, but due to the inauguration and associated activities, it seemed wise to all of us for us to meet on the 28th. So this month our regular meeting will be on the 28th.
Okay, there's a motion before us. I don't believe a second is required. That's correct, Mr. McIsaac. No seconds required. All right, the motion is before us. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. All right, moving on, we have item 4, the adoption of the calendar year 2017 County Board meeting procedures. Ms. Crystal?
Yeah, I move adoption of the calendar year 2017 County Board meeting procedures as shown in attachment 1. I think on balance, these procedures will be familiar to those who have participated along with us in our meetings throughout previous years. One change worth highlighting because of its potential impacts in our public conversations is item, for those following along at home, C2, regarding public hearing items to be removed from the proposed consent agenda. This item has been amended to clarify the distinction between public hearing items and non-public hearing items. The continued practice will be that the county board, at the request of a member of the public, will remove any public hearing item from the proposed consent agenda and have that item carried over for a full hearing at our recess meeting. What it clarifies is that non-public hearing items may be removed by a board member. So residents who wish to pull a non-public hearing item ought now to approach a board member to do so rather than coming to our Saturday regular meeting. Any of my colleagues have comments on that? I know it's a change we talked about amongst ourselves. And again, those interested can find this in attachment 1, the county board meeting procedures.
Right. And I think our clerk in the county board office can certainly further explain it to anyone that is a regular or that likes it will be coming to the meetings to further explain the implications of that. But it's pretty self-apparent through the written document. Yes. We need a second for this. Is there a second?
Yes,
Ms. Garvey seconded it. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the item, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you. Item number 5 is the adoption of the calendar year 2017 procedures for budget and tax rate public hearings. Mr. Dorsey?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move County Board adopt the memo number 5, attachment 1, dated December 5th, 2016, regarding the adoption of the meeting procedures for the annual budget and tax rate hearings. The operative issues for the public to understand are that these hearings are scheduled, the budget public hearings, on Tuesday, March 28th, and the tax rate hearing on Thursday, March 30th. Both hearings will begin at 7:00 p.m. and they will be here in this room. Like in past years, there will be advanced sign-up procedures for citizens to sign up 5 days before each hearing date. Those advanced procedures will end 5 p.m. the day before each hearing. And speakers who wish to speak may choose to speak for 2 or 3 minutes. And as always, statements in writing are highly recommended and encouraged.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? We have a motion and we have a second, correct? Didn't someone second this?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Garvey. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thanks. And the final sort of business item is one of them, the tiebreaker resolution. Mr. Vysett.
Thank you, Mr. Vysett. This regards the calendar year 2017 County Board tiebreaker resolution. In the unlikely event of a water landing, we need to adopt a calendar year 2017 tiebreaker resolution, which reads as follows. Be it resolved that the Arlington County Board determines that there shall not be a tiebreaker whose duty it would be to cast the deciding vote in the case of a tie vote of the members of the Arlington County Board during calendar year 2017. And that is because if a majority of the board is not in favor of something, that motion fails.
So is that a motion?
Yes, it is a motion, Mr. Second. Chairman.
Second. From Ms. Crystal. Any questions, comments? Oh, thank you, Mr. Weistat. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries unanimously. Okay, next item is our, we have several appointment items. The first are regional and other appointments, and I will read through these. There is no second required. So for calendar year 2017, I move that we reappoint to the Council of Governments Board of Directors Christian Dorsey, reappoint to the National Capital Region Transportation Planning Board myself, reappoint to the Metropolitan Washington Air Quality Committee John Weistat, and to other committees, reappoint myself to the Climate, Energy, and Environment Policy Committee, reappoint Libby Garvey to the Chesapeake Bay and Water Resources Policy Committee, reappoint Katie Crystal to the Human Services and Public Safety Policy Committee, reappoint John Weistat to the reappoint John Weistat and appoint Libby Garvey to the Region Forward Coalition, all part of the Council of Governments. To the Northern Virginia Regional Commission, reappoint John Weistat and Libby Garvey. To the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, appoint Libby Garvey and designate as the Virginia Railway Express Operations Board alternate appointee from Arlington. And reappoint Christian Dorsey and designate Christian as the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority appointee from Arlington. And reappoint Katie Crystal and designate Katie as the Virginia Railway Express Operations Board appointee from Arlington. And finally, to the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, reappoint myself. Again, no second is required. All those in favor of those appointments, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Further, on advisory group appointments, I'll read through this. No second is required for these. To the this is something where we have a whole bunch of advisory commissions that advise the county board on policy matters. About half of them have their appointments of the chair in January and about half in July. So every January we appoint those we need to. And you'll also see there is a new committee, the Joint Facility Advisory Committee, which we'll be making appointments to today. The school board will be following up and making the very same appointments 2 days from now. Correct, Nancy? It's Thursday. All right, so to the Citizens Advisory Commission on Housing, designate Holly Bray as chairman. Civil Service Commission, designate Patrick Murphy as chairman. Disability Advisory Commission, designate William Staterman as chairman. Economic Development Commission, designate Sally Duran as chairman. Emergency Preparedness Advisory Commission, designate Kim Klingler as chairman. Environment and Energy Conservation Commission, designate Christine Ng as chairman. Fiscal Affairs Advisory Commission, designate Tenley Peterson as chairman. Human Rights Commission, designate Juan Carlos Velazquez as chairman and Sukari Pinnock-Fitz as vice chair. Information Technology Advisory Commission, designate Frank Jazzo as chairman. And now the appointments to the Joint Facilities Advisory Commission. Appoint Ginger Brown and designate Ginger as the chair. Appoint Greg Greeley and designate Greg as vice chair. Appoint Devanshi Patel, Matthew DeFerranti, Cicely Whitfield, Sue Robinson, Todd McCracken, Laura Simpson, Theodore Black, Susan Cunningham, Janine Velasco, William Ross, Jerry Gidner, Rachel Silberman, Steve Young, Katie Rouse, Joseph Lightman Santa Cruz, Gabriel Rubalcava, Angelica Goodman, and Eric Goldstein. To the Parks and Recreation Commission, designate Caroline Haynes as chairman. To the Partnership for Children, Youth, and Families, designate Ann Vertebrugge as chairman and Ann O'Brien as vice chair. To the Tenant Landlord Commission, designate Kendon Krause as chairman. And to the Urban Forestry Commission, designate Nora Palmateer as chairman. That's the full list. Did I miss anything? All right.
All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? There are none. Thank you. And finally, the last appointment related issue. We do have a charge in front of us, an advisory group charge for the Advisory Committee on Transportation Choices. And this is, very proudly we say, another joint committee between the county schools and the county board. I'll speak to this briefly when I give my remarks, but this is a very exciting project and initiative. I've worked very closely with Nancy Van Doren, the chair of the school board, and we've engaged all of our, and had great support from all of our elected colleagues to set this up in a way that helps to use county resources combined with school resources and the thinking, the best thinking of both of our bodies to further improve the transportation choices available to our school system, both the educators, the parents driving, taking the kids to school, and the kids themselves. This is a very exciting project, and I know our staff are really looking forward to the work ahead. So the charge is before us. It has been posted on the website for some time now. The school board as well will be taking this up on Thursday and adopting the exact same charge. And we've worked it through, both with our staff and the community at large. We'll be making appointments, we expect, to this new commission at the end of January. So if one is interested, you can certainly ask us more about this. The charge has been in front of my colleagues for a while, so I will move adoption of the advisory group charter for the Advisory Committee on Transportation Choices. Seconded by Mr. Dorsey. Are there any comments, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you very much. Okay, now, folks, we are at the remarks part of our agenda. We all know what the order will be, and I'm going to start out and say a few words. Hi. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us. I want to say a quick first thanks to two special people up here in the front. My mother is in town for the holidays. It wasn't pre-planned, but she's here. Raise your hand. Thank you for coming, Mom. And my husband, Bob Rosen, who is just, you know, my best friend. So thank you both for being here. I know there are some other special people in the audience. Nancy Van Doren has been acknowledged the chair of the school board. I believe James Lander has joined us from the school board. Where is James? Did I see him come? There he is. And I know several other school board members, for example, told us they either have another community meeting tonight or are recuperating from some from a cold. So thank you all for being here. And I see a lot of friends and county staff in the room, too. So thanks for joining us. First, thanks to my county board colleagues for your support. I'm honored to work with you in service to our community and look forward to collaborating truly with each of you to meet Arlington's needs and make our community even better in 2017. And our team includes our highly skilled and experienced county manager, county attorney, and clerk. So Mark, Steve, and Hope, you guys are great. Thank you. We truly appreciate all you do. And behind you, the employees of this county that make us all look good every day. It's said that the only constant in life is change, but the pace and impacts of change vary greatly. This year is likely to bring dramatic, unsettling changes in our national government and on the international scene. Arlington will feel some effects, but we'll respond as we have before in times of turbulence and periods of more gradual change, with sensible actions inspired by our shared community vision and shaped through thoughtful dialogue and open debate. So what makes us? What are the metrics? How do we know we're healthy? First, let's recognize how fortunate we are in our location next to the nation's capital, in our income and education levels, and most of all, in our community values and tradition of strong, open government and engaged citizens. Arlington continues to excel in the provision of core government services, public safety, education, transportation, and basic social services. Our crime rate continues to decline. Our streets are safe. We hire educated public safety officers. We train them well, and our community-oriented policing model works. Our public schools are outstanding, as we've always recognized that high-quality public education is an investment in our future. And our transportation system and staff are second to none in the country. Of course, we are not perfect. Yet in our last survey of residents, overall satisfaction with the quality of local government services remained at 89%, 32 percentage points above the national average. Our smart growth planning is a national model that relies on transit and thoughtful land use planning as our prime engines of redevelopment. As a result, our tax base is well balanced between commercial and residential properties. Our tax rate is among the lowest in the region, and our AAA bond rating reflects strong fiscal management. We're small, yet smart. Ground zero for the creative class. Our 2.8% unemployment remains the lowest in Virginia, well below 4.6% nationally. And by the way, 4.6%, thank you, President Obama, it was 9 or 10 when he took office. So what are the keys? What are the what's the recipe for our success? Four things that I want to speak to briefly. Have a vision and plan for the long term, engage our community, partner and leverage, and then commit to act. So a little on each of these. You know what they say, vision without action is a daydream. Action without a vision is a nightmare. Arlington is guided by a shared vision built on progressive values. And then we plan. Anyone can plan for tomorrow. Few find the political will and community support to develop plans for the long term, as we do. And our dynamic community will demand even more creativity in future planning efforts to respond to population growth, changes in office markets, and the nature of work, and the pressures to provide more community facilities and amenities in our very small space. Second, we engage, we meet, we discuss, we debate a lot. We are always open to new ideas and constructive engagement, yet can't be held hostage to efforts to delay, distract, or undermine. I firmly believe that trying to forge a broad understanding and consensus on a path forward is worth the time and energies involved because it improves the decision and builds trust. We have launched ambitious planning efforts, Lee Highway, 4 Mile Run, Valley, and we must press forward with true premium transit along Columbia Pike. In these and other initiatives, we should look to combine the wisdom of the veteran activists with fresh perspectives and youthful ideas, and bring ever more diverse interests and voices to the table. Third thing is partnering and leveraging. We can't do it as local governments ourselves all the time. Beyond our citizens, we turn to the state, we turn to the federal government, the private sector, the nonprofit sector, and we partner to do good things. We leverage their talents and their funds. And four, we commit to act. We don't just talk. We do what we say we're going to do. The plans don't just sit on the shelf. They inform policy and budget decisions. And then we must monitor and track outcomes and make mid-course corrections as necessary. So 2017, what is our job? To listen and lead. To ensure Arlington continues to move forward and does not get stuck or stagnate. We should always work to streamline processes, to improve the predictability and equity of services, and make all county agencies fully responsive to residents and businesses' questions and needs. Continuous improvement, you've heard that term, and our customer service needs to be part of the DNA of our organization. And it includes harnessing technology, adapting to the sharing economy, and even better communication and notification tools. So specifically, some of the largest challenges and those that I personally intend to focus on in 2017 are the following six. The need for facilities, including schools within the constraints of limited land, strengthening our economic competitiveness, housing affordability, environmental sustainability, metro, and staying true to our vision and our values. So let me speak briefly to each of these. On facilities, we continue to work well, really well, in fact, with our elected school board colleagues. We must continue as partners in local government, sharing fiscal resources, facilities, and land. We're all in it together because we all need fire stations. We all need bus storage facilities, parks, schools, and more. The 2015 award-winning Community Facility Study, thank you, Mary Hines, former county board member, provided us with a strong framework for refreshing the Arlington Way and making siting and capital investment decisions with better community input up front. Actions earlier today by this board keep us moving forward in implementing the recommendations of the Community Facility Study. We appointed members of the Joint Facility Advisory Commission, which will get to work immediately. We also adopted a charge for the newly created Advisory Committee on Transportation Choices, and I said before, our staff are very excited to work together in that effort to create safe, healthy transportation choices as our schools grow. Second item is economic competitiveness. Our commercial vacancy rate has recently dipped below 20%, though this is still much higher than our historic averages. We have had some strong wins in attracting and retaining businesses, yet we must continue to make progress in branding Arlington as a hub for the innovation economy and marketing our assets aggressively. The good news, we have the workforce that everybody wants. Lots of young, smart people, mostly our educated community at 72% with a bachelor's degree or more ranks first in the country. The Pentagon and National Airport are not moving. We have an outstanding transportation system and strong amenities. Got a lot going, working right for us. Third issue, affordable housing has become a bellwether issue that expresses the soul of our community. We are victims of our own success, as far more people want to live here than we have homes to fill. The average home price is $603,000. And we lost 13,500 market rate affordable units between 2000 and 2013. In furtherance of the recently adopted Affordable Housing Master Plan, we will review and update our accessory dwelling unit ordinance. We will also consider tools for preserving our attractive and affordable garden apartments that are such an important part of the stock of affordable housing and also of the character of our community. And we will further explore this mysterious missing middle in housing. That's middle that refers to modest densities and also middling incomes, in an effort to provide more options for people of modest means, multi-generational households, and aging in place. Fourth item, environmental sustainability is the planetary challenge of our generation, and Arlington must be a leader. In 2013, this board adopted the Community Energy Plan, which set goals for the entire community through 2050. Unlike many communities, we didn't just sign a proclamation. We adopted a plan after 3 years of collaboration among all county stakeholders, and we have implemented policies and programs to achieve our targets. Nearly two-thirds of our community's carbon emissions are from buildings. While county and school buildings have seen an overall 23% reduction in energy use, carbon emissions, more needs to be done. In 2017, new public buildings should strive to the net zero standard set by our own Discovery School. At least three public buildings should host large solar arrays through private power purchase agreements. And Arlington should be the first locality in Virginia to establish a program to assist commercial property owners in financing energy retrofits. It's called PACE programs. The fifth item, ensuring the success of WMATA, the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, Metro. This is the top priority for the region and will require all our attention in 2017. The regional rail system is the backbone of our transportation network and our economy. 84% of office development in the pipeline today in the region is within a quarter mile of a metro station. WMATA, under strong new leadership, has taken bold steps to address the system's safety and reliability. As the only large rail system in the United States without a dedicated funding source, we must help our region find a sustainable path forward, and we are ably led by our colleague Christian Dorsey in that regard. This is a pass-fail test for our region. Yet, maybe our most significant task in 2017, the final one I mentioned, will be to advance our values, our vision, and our community ethic as we can collectively grapple with the broader uncertainties and threats to social and environmental programs and to individual liberties anticipated with the incoming federal administration. While many of us have embraced the newly coined disruptive innovations, the latest presidential election was a little more than we bargained for. No longer can we rely on the federal government to guide and support us with allegiance to shared purposes and our common humanity. It is becoming all too clear that local governments will be called upon to lead. Communities like Arlington can serve as a model for how progressive social values and policies can work in tandem with conservative and responsible fiscal policies. Arlington must continue to stand by our convictions and pursue our aspirations. Our ability to think big in spirit and deed has distinguished us, and it should still. While we should diligently strive to provide core services even better, we should not be limited to that out of fear or defensiveness. We also need to invest in the arts, parks, trails, libraries, and human services that help define us and enhance our quality of life. Arlington must also continue to value the common good, not individual greed. Arlington must continue to prize a public education. Whether we have children today or we do not, we will showcase that local government can excel at educating all our children. Arlington must look after the most vulnerable among us, whether in the dawn of life, this may be familiar to you, the twilight of life, or the shadows of life. Our senior citizens and persons with disabilities should be cherished, nurtured, and supported, and homelessness and affordable housing shall remain a priority. Arlington must strengthen our efforts to protect the environment. We do accept the reality of climate change. In the absence of federal leadership and assistance, cities and urban counties across America are taking the lead. Arlington must continue to build public trust through broad civic engagement and careful fiscal management and oversight. Civility and accountability are important. As a former GAO auditor, I hate to waste anything and look forward to continued work with our new county board auditor to find savings and improve program performance. And finally, Arlington must continue to treat our foreign-born residents with the respect and human dignity they deserve. Our young dreamers deserve special attention and protection. I want to reassure Arlingtonians of all stripes, hues, and homelands that Arlington will remain a welcoming and safe community. We value diversity and embrace people's differences as a source of this community's strength. In conclusion, the Washington Post recently referenced our common humanity as the guiding principle, the glue that keeps our democracy on track. We have such a common humanity right here. Arlington will continue to strive to create a more sustainable, equitable, and healthy community, a community that works, and we'll do it together. So thank you very much, and Happy New Year. Thank you. Katie.
Happy New Year. Just echo thanks to our colleagues for their support, to our staff who is so well represented here, led capably by our manager, and following Jay's lead to my best and favorite advisor. Hi, Steve. Happy New Year. So as the calendar turns to 2017, I've been thinking a lot about optimism and hopefulness, and specifically on what terms they are still possible for the year ahead and how to believe in the best of what we are collectively capable while perhaps preparing ourselves for the consequences of the worst. And so I found helpful a year-end interview with the psychologist and writer Steven Pinker, who described a distinction drawn by an economist between complacent optimism, which is the feeling of a child waiting for a present, and conditional optimism, which is the feeling of a child who wants a treehouse and realizes that if he gets some wood and some nails and convinces a few other kids to help him, he can build one. I am not complacently optimistic about the future, Pinker went on to say. I am conditionally optimistic. And I myself am not starting 2017 with the complacent optimism with which we might greet an easy year. This will not be an easy year. Ahead are the budget pressures and needs of WMATA and of student population growth. Difficult and sometimes unpopular, citing decisions to be made to ensure continued delivery of core services throughout the county, and a federal policy context that will make the work of county government and the lives of our residents more complicated in ways we do not yet fully anticipate. But conditional optimism, that's possible yet, that Arlington can and will be better than the national currents of pessimism or insularity. So here are my commitments as a board member and my call to action, if you will, for my fellow Arlingtonians. In the year ahead, we will work to ensure that Arlington is still a place and a home for all economic classes. We will work to demonstrate that we are still a place that is capable of empathy, even in the face of great resource pressures. And we will still be a county that models pluralism and democracy. During decades of rising inequality, Arlington has put a stake in the ground for economic diversity, for the idea that the best of civic society, access to recreation, excellent education, to access to fulfilling professional work and entrepreneurial purpose, that all of those things are not just for the wealthiest. That's a lofty promise. And to bring it into the next generation, that requires a relentless focus on a single and some might say overused word around here, affordability. With market forces all trending the opposite way, affordability and the economic integration that it enables takes consistent work and clear vision. 2016 was a year of hard work, including, for example, the first test of a couple of principles in our affordable housing master plan, distribution and preservation. Quick action happened for nonprofit acquisition and preservation of affordable rental housing in Westover. We are not done with affordable rental housing. We are, in fact, not even done with affordable rental housing in Westover. But as we keep those efforts humming, this year I am aiming to turn some of our public focus to the issue of childcare affordability. For me, 2016 was a year of gathering information and perspectives from providers, experts, property owners, and parents. 2017 is a year to act. We have a range of policy options before us, including building on the permitting and economic development support to new providers, reducing our regulatory burden, particularly with regard to physical spaces in light of higher state standards for child care centers, and exploring ways to incent the creation of affordable spaces for child care uses in our planning policies. Working with our staff and the county manager, my goal is to have some initial guidance for consideration by my colleagues and our community as part of the fiscal 18 budget process. Similarly, on affordability, thanks to efforts of community leaders like Affordable Housing Solutions, the idea of missing middle housing, the forms like duplexes, small cottages, multiplexes that can add more affordable ownership options in lower density neighborhoods, that idea is now growing in popularity around the county, including in an excellent display in the lobby of this building. As our staff works this year on amendments to the accessory dwelling category of the zoning ordinance, I aim, and I know I do so along with my colleagues, to use those community conversations as a springboard to a larger discussion about how diverse housing forms can enable more ownership in socioeconomically diverse neighborhoods. With respect to resource pressure and facilities, our land use needs are great in this small county. I will say what keeps me up at night, however, is not whether we can find homes for a growing bus fleet, storage for snow vehicles, more seats for more students, recreational spaces that meet a wealth of needs. I am conditionally optimistic that this is not easy, but possible. Instead, what keeps me up is whether we can do that while maintaining our sense of Arlington as a whole, rather than just a balkanized collection of neighborhoods, lobby groups, causes. It's our job as county board members to set the tone and to create the structures for community-mindedness. I'm very proud of the joint subcommittee of the school and county boards that Mr. Fizette and I stood up this past year with Barbara Cannonan and James Lander, who's joined us today, of the school board, and the countless, I know Mr. Lander can attest, the countless hours we spent on our very first job, which was painstakingly reviewing dozens of overly qualified resumes and applications to create a joint facilities advisory commission with members that were truly at large in the best sense of the word and representative of our diverse committee. It was a pleasure to appoint them tonight. And if those things were the tentpole initiatives, the joint subcommittee, the joint facilities advisory commission, I think this past year was one where we tried to live those values of collaboration and transparency and in small and occasionally painful ways. For example, the decision of the manager at the board's urging to go public with an unsolicited offer for a land exchange so that we could bring the community into that conversation from jump. And the work to merge county side and school side planning processes for the new elementary school at Thomas Jefferson and enable folks to learn from one another. There is much more to come from us as county board members in 2017 as we engage with the advice and support the new JFAC and as we make what I think is really an unprecedented number of facility siting and land acquisitions ahead for just 1 year. But this is not just about government and elected leaders. And so I hope that our advocates and residents will join me in my New Year's resolution to be more empathetic in these debates in 2017. May we all challenge ourselves to do a better job to see our neighbors and fellow Arlingtonians behind the land uses and facilities that may not be our top preference for our neighborhoods or for a given site. To not see, quote, bus parking, but rather the exhausted Columbia Pike professional who needs some relief from the standing room only overcrowded 16Y on her way home. To not see just baseball fences and bothersome lightings, but the squirming fifth grader who will learn self-discipline and teamwork on that field. To see not wasted empty space, but the senior citizen for whom fresh air and parks, open parks, are a prescription to treat isolation or chronic illness. This empathy does not mean that we will agree on the best use for parcels, or even that we won't fight to mitigate the impacts that we see on our neighborhoods, but I hope we can strive to create the kind of trust and mutual understanding that really will allow us to meet our siting needs more creatively, and above all, together. Speaking of trust, in 2017, I am especially committed to keeping Arlington a community that models the ideas of democratic participation, where diversity is not decorative, but truly informs policy and governance. Over the last year, our personal conversations, I think in particular with Arlington's new American communities, have led to action, to partnership for Children, Youth, and Families forums on school resource officers, conversations I hosted with our public safety leadership on the distinction between immigration enforcement and local law enforcement, or to the access to driver's licenses resolution that Mr. Dorsey so capably led our board on. In 2016, we also saw new ways of outreach, including and particularly on social media, which were rewarded with new voices. I think there is no issue that reflected that better than our short-term rental or Airbnb deliberations, which brought renters in particular into the fold in a way they haven't been historically, and allowed us to re-advertise and shape a policy that addressed the concerns they raised to us. In the year ahead, I am committed to creating more fora for those who feel concern and worry about the rising national tides of discrimination, of threats of deportation, or of religious registries. We will have to do this in partnership with all levels of government, from our school board colleagues to our member of Congress, but it will be more important than ever to ensure that all members of our community feel not only heard, but safe here in Arlington. And 2017 will be a year to redouble our efforts to engage new voices in new ways. In my own outreach throughout this past year, I've heard often that serving on standing bodies is not the right avenue for every resident, and that many Arlingtonians are interested not only in immediate or one-off issues, but cross-cutting and big-picture issues. Working with our new director of communications,